You're listening to Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. I'm Terry Phillips. While Washington is awash with a new commitment to polite civil discourse, the rest of the country still confronts rude remarks and sometimes even physical abuse. Many neighbors are not being very neighborly. Sports fans often lack sportsmanship. And on the schoolyard, some say kids suffer from an epidemic of bullying. How do we control the urge to attack each other? If you have experienced bullying, I'd like to hear from you. The phone number here in Fresno, area 559-275-8989. Toll free from anywhere, 1-800-224-8989. You can also send us email. That address is talk@kvpr.org. Bullying has been in the news here in the Central Valley. A new report just came out elsewhere in the country. The Washington Post published a study that says that the victims of bullying are oftentimes those kids who are right in the middle. They're not the most popular. They're not the least popular either. So who are the victims of bullying, and what does it matter to us? How can we get involved in the process? Here in the Central Valley, there's been some news from the south part of the valley on bullying. Last year, there was a story about a student in Tehachapi who reportedly committed suicide because he was the victim of bullying. With me on the telephone is the education reporter for the Bakersfield Californian, George Barrientos. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Can you give us a little bit of background into what happened for the benefit of those who did not follow that story?
Yeah, sure. You know, back in September, we got reports of that there was a suicide, a 13-year-old boy from Tehachapi, middle school kid there, went from middle school to homeschool. So at first, you know, to me as an education reporter, I was trying to figure out who this kid was and what happened exactly, but as things started to unfold, we heard that there's bullying involved, and even more, we started hearing that perhaps he was bullied because he was a homosexual boy, and that's why he chose to be homeschooled. He didn't want to be in school anymore. Well, what happened in September is there's some sort of reported bullying incident that was reported to the police. They're still investigating that, but ultimately he went to his backyard, hung himself in his backyard, and a few days later, I believe a little bit more than a week, he died in the hospital. What happened after that was just, you know, an onslaught of news reports of what happened, how this could have been avoided, what did the district do. You know, ultimately, where we stand now is the U.S. Department of Education Civil Rights Division is investigating the school district. The school district has, you know, defended itself for the things it has done to tackle bullying. And, you know, that's essentially where we're at now. The mom has come out and spoke out against bullying, and so has the ACLU. And, you know, the ACLU has her back as well. So that's essentially where we're at right now.
All right. And, George, in covering that story, did you also find examples of bullying elsewhere? Is this, I mean, does the word epidemic apply to this phenomenon here in the Central Valley?
You know, it's really hard to tell because in doing some research and chatting with administrators here and just everybody within schools, there's really not a mechanism right now to properly identify how much bullying there is right now. The closest we have to that is a healthy kids survey, a California healthy kids survey, that anonymously surveys kids in various grades. But, you know, when it comes to surveys, it's hard to tell exactly how accurate they are. So as of right now, we really have no mechanism, and there's legally no there's nothing in place in California that says that, you know, you have to report bullying in a certain way. So right now, it's really hard to tell exactly how much there is. Anecdotally, you know, we get reports all the time that there's bullying, that that there is indeed a problem out there in our schools.
Well, there was also a report in the north part of the Central Valley, in the town of Oakhurst, about a teacher who seemed to have a problem with a bully in her class that she could not resolve. And the story was that she ended up reporting that case to law enforcement officials and was suspended by education authorities and then later reinstated. The district found that, in fact, she had done nothing wrong by trying to remove this danger. Is that part of this dynamic here, that teachers are having problems managing, well, what amounts to a kind of violence in their classrooms?
Yeah, you know, it depends who you ask, really. If you ask teachers, you know, I think they're comfortable tackling it, but even then, the school district also defends itself, you know, it's defended itself throughout this whole thing. The fact that they provide training, here we have the Kern County Superintendent of Schools office. They're essentially a consulting mechanism for all 47 school districts surrounding us. And they say that they provide, you know, bullying training and workshops, you know, on and off the clock throughout. So, you know, if you talk to them, they say they're prepared. They know what to do. Of course, when something like this happens, you know, they essentially say this, you know, what more can you do when we do all we can do and this is something that happens, you know, what can you do? You know, if you talk to the ACLU and you know, really, in this tragic story, you have the mother of Seth Walsh. You talk to them, and they essentially say, you know, there more has to be done. This cannot happen to any other kid in any other school. You know, one is enough. Seth Walsh was the only example, the one example we can use, and that shouldn't have happened, essentially, is what they say.
This is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. I'm Terry Phillips talking with George Barrientos, an education reporter for the Bakersfield Californian. We're talking about bullying. A listener called to tell us that a new program has been implemented at that school, at Seth Walsh's school. Students are taking a survey to help staff identify the problem, and the identity of the kids is being protected. But every parent at that middle school apparently received a packet of information on what the school is doing. George, is there anything beyond? You said that there's no law in California to deal with this problem at schools. Is there anything beyond this that schools are doing, or from the reporting that you've discovered, that maybe other schools are doing that could serve as a lesson for educators here in the Central Valley?
Yeah, definitely. You know, in looking at what schools exactly what schools are doing to tackle bullying, you know, there's some great examples out there. I found that in Fruitvale School District, for example, you know, they have an anonymous, I guess, a paper that students can fill out anytime they see or experience themselves a bullying incident. They can come into the office, fill out this paper, and it's immediately handled. You know, no questions asked. It's essentially no tolerance for bullying, and it seems that that's becoming the case in a lot of different places, especially when you hear, you know, when reports of this type of tragedy just spread throughout the nation. I mean, bullying is such a hot topic right now that I think schools really have no choice but to take a no-tolerance approach to it. And I think a lot of schools throughout the not only the state but throughout the nation are really doing that right now, especially with the feds kind of keeping a close eye now, you know, especially after this Seth Walsh case in particular.
Let's take a call from – oh, I'm sorry. I was going to take a listener call, but we're not going to do that right now. George, I wanted to ask you also about the health ramifications of this. I mean, obviously, apart from this tragic case of the apparent suicide in Tehachapi, do educators identify actual health problems that result from bullying on campuses?
You know, I haven't really approached that subject too closely, but I mean, certainly when it comes to bullying, you have to tie in, you know, how closely counselors are involved. And, you know, not just teachers and administrators, but really it's the counselors and almost everybody in the school community coming together and really giving bullying a hard-nosed approach. You know, if you know a kid that's being bullied or hear of a bullying incident, really taking a look at that closely and certainly taking a look at it from the health standpoint. I mean, you know, we had a situation just recently in almost a community that's similar to to Tehachapi, where the Seth Walsh case happened, but these other cases happened in Kern Valley. It's the Lake Isabella area, and what was happening there was not necessarily bullying, but there was a rash of suicides. Two kids, in fact, committed suicide in within just months, and a third attempted but survived. What happened there was just the community really came together, and actually they attacked the school district as well for not doing enough for the health of the students to really put them at ease and tackle the issues that was going on right there. So definitely the health, from a health standpoint, you have to address that when it comes to bullying in the schools.
All right. Well, George, I appreciate you spending time talking to us about this problem.
Sure, Terry. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That is George Barrientos, education reporter for the Bakersfield Californian. This is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. I'm Terry Phillips, and we are talking about bullying. If you have experienced bullying, or if perhaps your child has, or someone else you know has had some firsthand experience with this problem, I'd like to hear from you. The number here in Fresno, area 559-275-8989, toll free 1-800-224-8989. You can also send email. That address is talk@kvpr.org. Joining us now is the founder and president of an organization called Peaceful Playgrounds. Melinda Bossenmeier is a retired elementary school principal. Dr. Bossenmeier, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
What is Peaceful Playgrounds?
Peaceful Playgrounds is a program where you can add 100 games and markings to the playground, and markings is like four square or hopscotch. And then in addition to giving children more to do at recess, which helps to curb bullying, we also teach them how to solve problems appropriately. And it's a school-wide approach to children relating to each other appropriately.
And when you were working as an elementary school principal, and I guess I should ask you first, how long ago was that you were in the schools?
I was a principal in 95 to 98.
Okay, so not terribly long ago. I mean, you know, certainly within a generation. So during the years that you worked as an educator, was there a change in the degree or the number of cases of bullying that you were aware of?
I think bullying has always occurred, but it's more evident now, and I think there's higher expectations from the public in general that it needs to be curbed. And I think educators are aware now as well that, you know, it's a serious problem and one that we need to deal with and to extinguish those behaviors. So it's always been there, but I just think it's more evident now.
And the activities that you were describing before, the kinds of things that I guess we've always done on schoolyards, whether they are sporting type games or role playing, or I don't know what other terms to use to describe it. It seems like everything eventually starts to become described in virtual terms. But the actual physical playing that went on, that has always gone on at school, has it become more physical? Is there more contact than there used to be, or are we just more worried about this than we used to be?
I think in terms of contact, that perhaps we're more worried about it, but in physical contact. But in terms of bullying, you know, it manifests itself in various forms. And basically, bullying is unwanted aggression with the intent to hurt or harm. And you see an imbalance of power, and bullying is usually repeated. And so bullying has gone on, and what's really brought it to light, the Columbine was the first incident in which there was a shooting, and this, you know, it was found out later that the boys were bullied at school over a long period of time. The same happened with Santee here in Southern California. There was a school shooting. And again, those boys, you know, had a background of being alienated from school and bullied. And so it's been happening. It's just that it's more evident now. What we're seeing is bullies striking out. and in severe cases, I should say. And in those cases, they may do harm to others or harm to themselves. And I think you were talking about some situations in which they, you know, suicides were involved or they were involved in harming themselves.
There was a report that came out not long ago which indicated that a significant percentage of students involved in bullying have some kind of weapon, whether it's a gun or a knife or something. And among boys, the percentage is something like 50%, and among girls, because this is not only a problem of boys, the number was something like 30%. And among the victims of bullying, there was also a significant percentage, although a smaller percentage. Nevertheless, there was quite a number of cases where the kids were using weapons, I guess, to defend themselves. And so I wanted to ask you about, first of all, about this distinction between how bullying manifests itself among boys and among girls, and beyond that, whether this is maybe a co-educational problem. Do boys bully girls and vice versa?
Well, what we see in bullying is boys typically bully boys, and their bullying can be intimidation, it can be physical, whereas girls, on the other hand, the type of bullying that they do is usually socialized isolation or spreading gossip, things along that type, that line. So there's different types of bullying oftentimes we see. But to put things into perspective in terms of bullying, when the California Healthy School Surveys that you discussed earlier, on the Healthy School Surveys here in California, 95% of students report that they feel safe in school. And so there is definitely a bullying problem, but sometimes when it's brought to light, it may appear to be bigger than it is. But not to downplay bullying for those children that are getting bullied. Nationally, what we see is about 1 in 4 students report that at some time during the school year they were bullied. And so bullying is a problem. The number of students that bring weapons to school to defend themselves or, you know, because they feel unsafe, I don't know that we really have accurate data on that, because students who bring it to school aren't typically going to tell anyone. So we really don't know the data there, I don't believe.
This is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. I'm Terry Phillips talking with Dr. Melinda Bossenmeyer, the founder and president of Peaceful Playgrounds. We're talking about bullying. If you have an experience with bullying, I'd like to hear from you here in Fresno, area 559-275-8989, toll free 1-800-224-8989, or by email to talk@kvpr.org. Let's hear from David in North Fork. David, welcome to Quality of Life.
Good morning, Terry. Another wonderful show.
Thank you.
I'm calling in response to this because we're up here and we have watched the accursed circumstance, and it seems to me in all of the discussions, including the one you're having this morning, there is a whole group of people missing, and that's parents.
Right.
And the relationship between parents and the school is essential, because these kids are, about that, not behaving very differently in school than they are at home. And I don't hear anybody addressing the issues of how parents relate to teachers, and I think that's a larger problem, but it's showing up in the bullying matter. So I'd like to hear what your guest has to say about that.
All right, David, I thank you very much for the question. It's a great one. And what about that, Dr. Bossenmeyer? What about the role of parents in this phenomenon of bullying at school? We have lost our connection with Dr. Bossenmeyer. We'll try to get her back on the line straight away. First, let's go to Christopher in Clovis. Christopher, welcome to Quality of Life.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go right ahead. You're on the radio.
Okay, I have an experience with bullying. It's not here in Clovis. I like Clovis because Clovis has a zero-tolerance policy. But I had experience school.
Well, we're having some telephone problems this morning. Christopher, if you're hearing this, please try to call back. We're having a few bugs in our telephone system, and I think we have Dr. Bossenmeier back on the line now.
Yes.
Sorry about our technical problem. Dr. Bossenmeier, the previous caller asked about the role of parents in bullying. Can you please address that?
Yes. Parents, if you feel your child is being bullied, some signs of that are that they may not want to go to school, or you may see the child begin to act out, or notice that they're slipping academically. They could be withdrawing or depressed. And if you see some of these signs, it's really important that you assure the child that you're there to assist them. Often bullying children feel that they deserve to be bullied, and you know, this is, of course, an inaccurate perception on the part of a child. So it's real important for the parent to reassure them, you know, you should not be treated like this. And together we're going to approach the school so that we can correct this situation.
But what about the suggestion that he made that the kids are learning this from their parents, this type of behavior, this aggressive behavior?
Right. Bullying children who bully oftentimes will learn that behavior either at home or in a setting that they spend a great deal of time. If a child is in a setting that they don't feel safe, that there is a lot of criticism, you know, within the home or within the daycare setting that they're attending, and they don't feel safe, then that's when you see them strike out. And it's thought to be a survival skill, or that's something they learn, that in the environment that they're in, you know, that they have to be aggressive to get their needs met. And so a bullied child, oftentimes one who bullies, is being bullied themselves.
We're going to take a quick break here and continue with the conversation in just a moment.
I'm a little boy with glasses, the one they call a geek. A little girl who never smiles, cause I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm that kid on every playground who's always chosen last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend. Is it too much to ask? Don't laugh.
This is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. I'm Terry Phillips. We're talking about bullying. If you have an experience with bullying, I'd like to hear from you. The number here in Fresno, area 559-275-8989. Toll free from anywhere, 1-800-224-8989. You can also try the email version of communication, and that's talk@kvpr.org. Let's try to get Christopher back on the line. Christopher, welcome to Quality of Life again. Can you hear me?
Hi, Terry. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Terrific. Yes, you sound fine. And you were saying that you liked Clovis in part because they have a zero-tolerance policy. I presume you mean in the schools
In the schools,
regarding
they have
bullying.
A zero-tolerance policy. However, when I was in Boston, Massachusetts, they ran into a situation where my son, who was at that time in the second or third grade, was being bullied every day. The hard thing was, is it was hard for us as parents to really even pull it out of the child, because a lot of children that age won't share with you when they are being bullied.
Right, right.
But when we did actually find out, and we were only able to do that by observing his behavior, figure out something was wrong with him. When we did inquire what was going on and we found out what was going on, the school administration actually validated that there was this problem kid in the school, and he was consistently tackling my son and threatening him and on a regular basis. And the school, we actually met with the administration. The school told us that they had their hands tied, that they weren't able to do anything for fear of legal retaliation from the person who they would be accusing of bullying. Isn't that kind of funny? So they kind of gave us a wink-wink, and we had to call the police on this child. There was no other way to do it. We decided not to press charges because of the child's age and all, but that was the only way, really, we could get the attention of the parents of this child who was being a bully. We had to actually get the police involved, which is kind of sad because of the legal system we have sometimes in this country that doesn't see things, you know, in a way that maybe I would see things as a parent.
And Christopher, I'm just curious to know what advice you gave to your son about how to deal with the bully.
Well, thinking back now, because he's much older now, he's in high school now in Clovis, and I think our advice to him at the time was to go to the yard person, to go to his teacher, to not immediately to report it,
mm-hmm.
and not allow it to, not to be afraid to even, you know, call us on the phone if he needed to. So, yeah, at that age, their very young age, sometimes the children have a hard time speaking up.
Right. Well, Christopher, yeah. I very much appreciate the call. Thank you for telling us your story. And again, I'm sorry about the technical problems. And
oh, thanks, Terry.
Thank you. Dr. Bossenmeier, I want to ask you about the role of the parent, just as the caller, Christopher, was talking about, in advising their child on how to respond to a bully. Once upon a time, and maybe even now, a typical response from the parent was, well, stand up for yourself. Learn to fight, learn to defend yourself, particularly among boys. Is that still common advice? And what's wrong with that advice? I mean, apart from the fact that it oftentimes leads to more conflict, what's wrong with being forthright in the face of a threat? I think that's a commonly held philosophy. And what's your view on that?
It is. Well, there's standing up for yourself, you know, verbally saying, you know, that's not true what you've said, or, you know, I don't like what you're saying, or stop saying that. That's definitely appropriate. Where it crosses over into inappropriate is if they physically, you know, hit the child or something in that regard, because the school wouldn't, you know, tolerate any kind of physical environment, physical violence. So standing up for yourself can be good, but remember that bullying involves an imbalance of power. So a child is standing up to someone that they think is more powerful than them, and so it's a very frightening thing for a child to do. And in some cases, you know, they'll be successful in standing up to a bully, but in other cases, you know, they may not be, and it may exacerbate the situation. I want to say, he said the school said that they could do nothing about bullying, and actually that's not an accurate statement at all. California Ed Code requires that schools provide a safe and orderly environment for students to learn. And research tells us that an effective school is one in which a child feels safe. So schools can and should and must do something about bullying. And the we have legislation here in California that mandates that the schools develop a policy in regards to bullying, and that they also develop how it will be reported and how bullying will be handled. Our policy here in California, or in many of the states, also requires teacher training and collecting data on bullying and monitoring it. He said there isn't, you know, statewide data available, and actually that is true at this point, because the data that's collected is suspensions and expulsions, which may or may not be appropriate in a bullying situation.
And by the way, speaking of that, I have read that Kern County has the largest, not just percentage, but the largest number of expulsions of any school district in the state of California, which is a phenomenal number when you consider that there are districts much larger, such as L.A., you know, in L.A. County, or their counties, I should say, with a greater population. And yet, here, that is an extremely high percentage and, of course, number.
And it may be. I'm not, you know, familiar with that area so much. I live in Southern California. But if you have zero tolerance policies, which I think the caller mentioned, even though those are good intentions, they actually do nothing to eliminate bullying. And they're really not feasible, nor would research indicate that zero tolerance policies are effective. In the situation of bullying, we know that 20% of students sometime in their educational career admit to bullying, and we can't kick 20% of the students out of the school, you know, or out of the school system. So zero tolerance policies really do not at all deal with the problem of bullying.
Right. Dr. Bossenmeier, I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning. We're going to move on, but I very much appreciate you sharing your expertise.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. That is Dr. Melinda Bossenmeier. She's founder and president of Peaceful Playgrounds. This is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. I'm Terry Phillips. We're going to switch focus a little bit here and talk about bullying in the workplace, because kids grow up, they get jobs, and sometimes they take their bad habits with them. And with us now to talk just a little bit about this phenomenon and what's being done about it is Michelle Smith. She is from the Bully Free Workplace, and she is a California Healthy Workplace Advocate. Michelle, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate having the opportunity to be on your show.
I understand that bullying, from the perspective of a professional environment, is oftentimes described by advocates such as yourself as a health hazard. This is not just an unpleasant experience, but this is actually dangerous for a person's physical and mental well-being. Is that right?
That's really true. It's basically considered to be deliberate and repeated health-harming mistreatment by a person or one or more that can take the form of verbal abuse. The conduct of behaviors that are threatening, intimidating, humiliating, these are words that are coming right out of the book called The Bully at Work. And basically, when a person is subjected to these kinds of treatments on a regular daily basis, which is what many people that are considered targets of a workplace bully, the stressors become next to intolerable. People, blood pressure goes up, sleeplessness happens, migraine, headaches, depression, anxiety. We've had a lot of people report post-traumatic stress disorder. And often people will go to doctors. We recommend that they get a checkup from their physical general practitioner, that they consider getting a referral to a therapist so that they can begin to get some of the stress down, lowered. But then when they consider having to go back and subject themselves to this humiliating behavior day after day, it is really a terrible thing to have to be living in.
And I've read that as many as one in three workers in the United States say that they have experienced some form of workplace bullying. So I have to assume that there are laws against this sort of thing, and that you can simply call a government agency or hire a lawyer and take legal action, right?
Well, unfortunately, that's not true. The actual protection that we have right now is basically the 1964 Civil Rights Act. But if you don't happen to be in a protected class, so we're talking about status blind workplace bullying, it's currently legal in the United States and in California. There is no protection if the person that you're being targeted by is in the same class, woman on woman, man on man, that type of thing. And unless you can actually prove that you're being mistreated because of this definition of the separateness of class, even the 1964 Civil Rights Act is very difficult to use to get any kind of legal protection. So if a law is not being broken, you have no legal recourse.
And you and your colleagues are trying to change the law.
Well, we are. We're trying to get something called the Healthy Workplace Bill sponsored by a legislator, and the bill is intended to correct and prevent workplace bullying, very similar to the sexual harassment laws that are in place now. Basically, the concept is to compel employers to have to put policies and procedures in place that would actually, again, correct and prevent this situation. And in some cases, actually in a great number of cases, if the bully was being told to stop the bullying, bullying, they would in fact stop. But there are those, of course, that are exceptions. But when the law is not being broken, employers have no legal recourse either. And unfortunately, Dr. Namy, who again is the author of The Bully at Work, refers to this as a silent epidemic, because people do reach out for help. They go to HR, they go to upper management, and because it's not against the law, there's just little that can be done unless someone is willing to say stop. And too many employers kind of have the attitude, well, it just comes with the way business is done.
And I just want to be clear about this. You're not only talking about physical intimidation, you're talking about all kinds of aggression. Is that right?
You know, it's actually what would be considered interference with legitimate business interests, because it can include public humiliation, it can include threatening behaviors, it can include lots of dishonesty, you know, being treated as if you're not doing your job properly, being written up for erroneous things that are very difficult to be able to say, well, you know, that's not true. We can stick up for ourselves, but to a certain extent, when the bully is in a higher level position, it's very difficult to stick up for yourself or stand up for yourself, because your job itself is being threatened. And most people, their health insurance, as we know, is tied to their job, their income, their actual living. And so lots of people don't want to risk losing their job. So they try to just kind of take it and show up every day. And I know for myself, my concept was, well, if I just do my job to the best of my ability every day, then they won't have any reason to continue to mistreat me. And
but that's
sadly,
just not the case. I'm sorry that we're out of time, but Michelle Smith, I thank you very much. We'll put a link on our website to yours if people want to know more about the California Healthy Workplace Bill.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. That is Michelle Smith from the Bully Free Workplace. You're listening to Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio, and we will continue with more of the program in just a moment.